Thanks for having me, Steve.
Pat, let's start with this. You conducted another roundtable, and I always feel like your roundtables are meaningful. The last one dealt with youth sports, which we talked about. This one is the return of Major League Baseball. What can the return of Major League Baseball, in your opinion, do to just everyday confidence for society?
Oh, I think it's going to be helpful on many, many levels. First of all, this sports desert that we've been living through for months is maddening for those of us who are sports fans. So, you know, this is part of our lives, is to care for our team and to follow the sports that we enjoy the most. So this is a specific step in the direction of a return to normalcy. It's also the case that Major League Baseball has developed a very extensive set of protocols to keep the players and the staff of their team safe. I happen to think they're going to be very successful. And when they demonstrate that that can be done successfully, it'll send a powerful message that, you know, we can go back to the mostly normal form of life. Right now, the baseball games, there are a few tweaks to the rules, and things aren't exactly the same. The big difference, of course, is that fans won't be allowed in initially. But still, just the fact that we have a baseball season, that major league teams are playing each other, it's a big step back in the direction of normalcy.
One thing that was pointed out during this roundtable was how extensive the protocols happen to be across the board, not just players and managers, but everybody along the way. I know that you knew they were extensive, but did you realize to the extent that they decided to go, and how impressed were you by that?
No, I didn't realize before the roundtable just how extensive these protocols are. I think it's a 120-page manual that they created from scratch that contemplates all kinds of things. They'll be required to be tested every other day for the virus, tested once a month for antibodies to the virus. There's all kinds of different rules that they're imposing on, you know, what happens in the clubhouse and how they eat their meals when they're at the stadium. So all kinds of things. It really was very extensive. The other thing that I think was very interesting is, you know, we heard from Reese Hoskins, the
yes.
first baseman for the Phillies. And, you know, he left me with the distinct impression that the players have really bought into this. They understand this is serious stuff. They want to play. They're excited about playing. They're taking the protocols very seriously. They're complying with them because they know that by doing so, they keep one another safe. And I think that's a great attitude for them to have.
In fact, his quote was, "These things are different and they are weird, but we knew coming in that we were going to have to accept it." And it sounds like, based on the testing, because you had Dr. Gary Green as well as a part of this, and he mentioned how the positive testing rate since they started has dropped.
That's exactly right. And the positive test rate now is absolutely tiny. It is less than 0.1%
yes.
of the people being tested. So that's great. That shows you that there is very high compliance with these protocols and that the protocols are working. So that's further good news. I think there's really a lot of good news all the way around.
Which I find interesting in all of this, and I want very quickly, when it's a major story, for example, Ohio State, and I know this isn't baseball, but Ohio State had to pause. Big story. Maryland had to pause. Big story. Kansas State, Houston, they all paused. Big story. They're all back practicing now, and nobody knows it, Pat, because nobody has said that they all went back. Are we sometimes getting hit too much with the bad news, and we never get the follow-up on good news?
I think that happens all the time. Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of what I wanted to do. I wanted to create a forum where the representatives from really all kinds of stakeholders, you know, the Players Association, the owners' representation, the commission, the healthcare professionals, let everybody explain what's going on here so the public understands. I think that our little roundtable discussion, I hope it contributed to that. I think it was very encouraging. And frankly, I hope before the season's over, we'll take further steps, including allowing fans back into the state, because I think we can do that safely as well.
Pirates general manager Ben Cherington was a part of this as well. This quote stuck out to me because I think it goes to everyday life. "I think we have to stay disciplined and continue to collaborate to find solutions. We're certainly getting more optimistic the closer we get." that's the part, the example of staying disciplined. How much should that be taken to heart by just the average person trying to get back to a normal life?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, the wearing of a mask, for instance, is inconvenient, and it's not really comfortable. But the fact is, when people are generally wearing masks when they're interacting with other people in public, the transmission of the virus just drops dramatically. And so having the discipline to keep it on, even though it's kind of a nuisance, it's good for all of us.
In fact, I know the NBA down in its bubble had no positive tests out of 350. The NHL had two positive tests out of 800. That was in Canada, obviously, in Toronto and Edmonton. When you're seeing the diligence with which they are going through this, and the testing with the diligence going through this, what sticks out to you?
Well, one of the things that sticks out to me is the data that they're going to accumulate that's going to be useful for research purposes. You know, we have a really interesting kind of control group here. I think it's altogether probably a couple of thousand people. Now, admittedly, it's not representative of the public as a whole. These are young men who are extremely healthy and extraordinarily athletic. Okay, so they are exceptional in a number of ways. But still, we're going to have a lot of data on test results. So one of the things that will be particularly interesting is to follow the results of the tests for the antibodies, known as the serology test, the tests that discover the people who have been exposed to the virus and have recovered from it. There's a lot we don't know about what happens over time with the antibodies, with people who had that exposure and recovered. Well, we're going to have a lot of data that's going to be specific to this this group of people, and I suspect scientists will pore over this and learn all kinds of things from it.
Senator Toomey, this will be a sidebar question, but it does go back to the previous interview you and I had a few weeks ago when you convened the roundtable on youth sports. And that roundtable that you convened on youth sports did have an epidemiologist from Stanford. We talked about the Icelandic study. When you look at that, does that give you confidence about children going back to school based on that research that you did on that and the roundtable you put together in that particular day?
Yeah, that and honestly, everything that I've seen and read about young people is very, very encouraging. It's very unlikely that they're going to contract the virus. If they do, they'll probably never know they had it. Children just have an immune system that is just extraordinarily able to defeat this virus. So I've got a 10-year-old son, and he's due to go into fourth grade in the fall, and I have no doubt that the best thing for my son is to be in school, with other kids, learning in person, and there's absolutely de minimis risk to his health. He's much better off being in school. That's the conclusion I've come to from all that I've seen.
And you're that 10-year-old son, by the way, plays sports as well, and that's when we brought that up that day. One final question, I'll let you go, and it deals with the chief operating officer for the MLB Players Association, Xavier James. And the Players Association wanted to make sure that they had as many protocols in as possible for obvious reasons. And he said he always likes the great Mike Tyson quote. Yes, we're quoting Mike Tyson. When I say everyone has a plan, they have a plan until they get hit. So for you, how important will the next 2 to 3 weeks be in Major League Baseball and also major sports as to what it can mean to our thought process moving forward if they can do this successfully?
Well, I think if Major League Baseball can do this successfully, then so can colleges, so can universities, so can virtually all employers. I think that's clear. But there is the unknown. We just got an announcement from just yesterday, I think it was, or very recently, from Governor Wolf that the Toronto the Blue Jays will not be able to play in Pittsburgh when they had worked out an arrangement where they could. I don't understand that for the life of me. I don't think that makes any sense. But it's one of the risks that Major League Baseball faces if some governor somewhere or some mayor decides they don't want any more baseball in their town, then, boy, that would throw a monkey wrench into this whole very carefully planned, you know, very carefully negotiated season that's about to begin. So I hope we don't have a monkey wrench like that thrown into the mix.
By the way, as an addendum, the Blue Jays do have to play in Philadelphia. It's on the schedule this year. So.
Yeah.
Which
no, they'll be in Pennsylvania anyway.
Yeah, they're going to be in Pennsylvania anyway. And I know Ben Cherington, who had been with the Jays, probably worked very hard on this arrangement. Senator, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's valuable, and you always carve out time for us, and we appreciate it, Pat, very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Take care.